turn to the book of John, chapter 8. Book of John, chapter 8. This chapter opens with Jesus at the Mount of Olives. We see that in verse 1. We see the scene shifts in verse 2. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. So now, he's in the temple. You see in verse 3 that the scribes and Pharisees bring an adulterous woman to Christ. And the reason they do that is to see what Christ would do. Their purpose was to hopefully find accusation against him. Sometime after that event, Jesus entered into conversation with the Pharisees in the hearing of the Jews that were present in the temple. We see that in verses 12 through 21. We see in verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them." Verse 13, "The Pharisees therefore said unto him," verse 14, "Jesus answered and said unto them." So there's a conversation going on between Christ and the Pharisees. And this continues down through verse 21. And then in verse 22, "Then said the Jews." So this is the Jews that were present in the temple. "Will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come?" Verse 23, "And he said unto them," the Jews. So now there's a conversation going on between Christ and the Jews. In verse 30, "And he spake these words," this conversation with the Jews, "many believed on him." And then in verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." So now we have a different conversation. We see that he had a conversation with the scribes and Pharisees after the adulterous woman was brought to him. We see he has a conversation with the Jews that were in attendance in the temple. We see as a result of that that many of the Jews believed. And now he directs his attention to this group. And he has a conversation with them that carries on through the end of the chapter. And we see there's an exchange that is going back and forth between these Jews which believed and Christ. Notice verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." Verse 33. "They answered him." Verse 34. "Jesus answered them." Verse 39. "They answered and said unto him." A few words later in verse 39, "Jesus saith unto them." Verse 41, "Then said they to him." Verse 42, "Jesus said unto them." Verse 48, "Then answered the Jews." Verse 49, "Jesus answered." Verse 52, "Then the Jews said unto him." Verse 54, "Jesus answered." Verse 57, "Then said the Jews." Verse 58, "Jesus said unto them." So we see there's this exchange going back and forth, conversation between Christ and these Jews which supposedly believed on Christ. Reading through the conversation between Christ and these Jews which believed on him, it is clearly seen that they believed intellectually and did not possess saving faith. To these, he said in verse 44, "Ye of your father the devil." Now that's not true of a child of God. He's not talking to people who possessed saving faith. He's talking to a people who possess an intellectual faith. As you read through the conversation, you see that these Jews, which supposedly believed, they boasted how they were of the natural seed of Abraham. And the reason they did that was because they thought that they had merit in their heritage. And Christ is telling them throughout the conversation, you're nothing like Abraham. That's what Christ is basically telling them. You're nothing like Abraham. And as the conversation goes on, these Jews became offended. They began to oppose, and they were angered by the teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ. These Jews, with their intellectual faith, saw not Christ, did not appreciate the greatness of Christ. Notice in verse 53, they asked the question, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead?" They couldn't see the greatness of Jesus Christ. They had, with their intellectual faith, they had no joy of heart. Verse 56, Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad." But again, he's telling them, you're nothing like him. You're nothing like Abraham. These Jews in their intellectual faith were ignorant and blind to Christ's teaching. In verse 57, "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" They're completely ignorant of who Jesus is. They are completely ignorant of the teaching of Jesus Christ. These Jews with their intellectual faith had a hatred for the deity of Jesus Christ. Verse 59, at the end of the conversation, "Then took they up stones to cast at him." And I don't believe that was the scribes and Pharisees. I believe that was these Jews, which believed intellectually. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. For our text, we want to read verse 56. We read it once. We'll read it again. Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Jesus here is drawing a contrast between these Jews with their intellectual faith and Abraham, who had a saving faith. We read here that Abraham saw. He saw. That describes his faith. What he saw, unlike these Jews that believed, what he saw changed his life. These Jews, they believed, but nothing changed. But what Abraham saw changed his life. Huge difference between an intellectual faith. The devils have an intellectual faith. The demons believe. Satan has an intellectual faith. An intellectual faith will not get you to heaven. You'll die and go to hell with an intellectual faith. It takes a saving faith. We see also that what Abraham saw resulted in rejoicing and gladness. These Jews believe, but they were far from rejoicing. They were far from glad. They were bitter. They were hateful. They were angry. And Jesus is saying, you're nothing like Abraham. And an intellectual faith is nothing like a saving faith. This faith, this saving faith, makes us glad. I believe it makes us glad to live for Christ. It makes us glad to submit to Christ. It makes us glad to serve Christ. And we're told here what Abraham saw. Jesus said Abraham saw the day of Christ. When he saw my father, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw something specific. He saw the day of Jesus Christ. And the result was he was glad. We saw this morning that Elisha saw. Tonight we want to see what Abraham saw. I want to speak on the subject of seeing that makes glad. Again, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. I believe that Abraham saw the person of Jesus Christ. He did so by faith. He, with all the Old Testament saints, looked beyond all the years, looked beyond all the trials and the troubles, beyond all the sorrows, beyond all the circumstances, and saw the very person of Jesus Christ. When Abraham saw Christ, he saw him as the very Son of God. He saw him as God himself, as the Lord of all, as the Lord of lords, as the Lord of glory. And he was glad. If you and I see the person of Christ, that will always be the result. And was glad. And was glad. He saw Christ for who he was, for who he is, as the creator and sustainer of all things. And he was glad. He saw Christ possessing all power in heaven and earth. And he was glad. He saw Christ as the one who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he was glad. He saw Christ as eternal, immortal, immutable, and he was glad. He saw Christ as the one and only mediator between God and man, as the only refuge, as the only redeemer for sinners, the only hope for sinners, and he was glad. He saw Christ as the only way to God, and he was glad. He saw Christ as gracious. He saw him as compassionate, and he was glad. He saw Christ as the one in whom all the blessings of God are found, and he was glad. He saw Christ as everything, and he was glad. You see, seeing the person of Christ, unlike these believing Jews, didn't make them mad. Didn't make them mad. Didn't make them offended. Didn't make them bitter. Didn't fill them with hatred. He was glad. And yet today there are many who profess to know Christ, and it seems like they're mad most of the time. They're offended most of the time. They're bitter. They're filled with hate. Again, I remind you, Abraham saw Christ and he was glad. I mean, there's nothing to get mad about when you see Jesus Christ. So we need to ask ourselves, are we able to look through everything? All our circumstances, all our situations, all our troubles, all our trials, all our difficulties, and see Jesus. You see, a person can know much intellectually about Christ and never see Him. But it's seeing Him, that's faith, that'll change your life. It's seeing Him that'll change everything about us. We can know the historical facts of Christ's life, but that won't make you glad. And you can know all the historical facts without seeing Christ. You can read the Gospels every day and never see Jesus Christ. Never see Jesus Christ. You see, to see Him is to know Him. I believe when Abraham saw Him, he knew Him. He was saved. To see Christ is to know Him. You can know about Him, but never confuse that with knowing Him. To see Him is to trust Him. You can know all about Him. You can know all about His miracles without ever trusting Him. To see Him is to understand who He is, what He does. To see Him, of course, is absolutely an absolute necessity to being saved. It's also one of the keys to living the Christian life. That is why the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus. It's the key. It's the key to living, is to be able to see Jesus Christ. And Abraham saw Christ, and he was glad. But we read here in our text, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. I believe he saw the person of Christ. He saw who Christ was. But it says here that he rejoiced to see my day. And he did see it. And when he did, he was glad. So that raises the question, which day is Jesus talking about? What day did Abraham see? Well, it was a day that involved Christ. He rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw it, I believe it includes many things. I believe Abraham, by faith, looked forward thousands of years and saw the day of incarnation. And he believed it. He saw Jesus, the very Son of God. You and I can look back through the years and see the same thing that Abraham saw. Except he looked forward, we look back. But still the same faith, either way. He saw the very Son of God leave the majesty and splendor of heaven and become flesh and dwell upon this sin-cursed earth. And that made him glad. And when you and I can look back and see Jesus Christ becoming flesh, if we can see that, you won't get mad. All these people that are so mad about Christmas, I mean, if they're not careful, in fact, many of them already have, we're not connecting Christmas with the incarnation. Don't misunderstand me. But you better be careful, because you get so angry that you don't even pay attention. It's almost as if the incarnation is evil. It's very dangerous, because I've got news for you. You can't be saved without the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And I believe that Abraham looked forward and saw Jesus Christ become flesh. Perhaps he looked through all the many years and heard the heavenly host declare glory. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill towards men. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Abraham saw the great God who saw all of our sins from all of eternity. The one who knew all of our offenses, the one who certainly knew what all of our sins deserved. Instead of sending down a messenger of justice with a flaming sword in his hand to cut us off, he sent down his son. Now how can you see that and not be glad? Abraham saw the day of incarnation. And he was glad. He saw that day in Bethlehem when a Savior, when a rescuer, when a reconciler and a peacemaker and a deliverer came from heaven to earth for those who had transgressed the laws of God, for sinners who were covered in the filth of their sin, for sinners in the vileness and the corruption of their sin. Sinners who deserve the wrath of God. But God didn't send an avenger of wrath. He sent a son. And I believe Abraham saw that by faith. And he was glad. And you and I, we look back through the years and we see the gift of God's son at Bethlehem. And in that gift we see the amazing and wondrous and mind-boggling love of God. Oh, how we need to see the day of incarnation. That'll make you glad. I mean, how can you walk around mad if you see that God, instead of sending an avenger of wrath, sent his son for you? How can we be mad about that? How can we even walk around mad, bitter and hateful? Abraham saw and he was glad. I believe also Abraham saw the day of his sufferings. You see, a Savior born without a Savior dying is not enough. Not enough. Abraham saw, I believe, Jesus at Calvary. You read Genesis 22, it's very obvious to me that Abraham saw Christ at Calvary. I believe that Abraham saw and he believed that all his sins were placed upon Jesus Christ. He looked forward seeing that. You and I, we look back. He saw Jesus Christ, the innocent one, the sinless one, the pure one, as the sin bearer, bearing all the filth, bearing all the vileness and the guilt of sin. He saw Jesus Christ making a full and perfect and sufficient sacrifice, not just for sin, but for his sin. It's not enough to see Jesus Christ bearing the sin of many. You must be able to see Jesus Christ bearing the vileness and the guilt of your sin. That's faith. That's saving faith. And when Abraham saw Christ at Calvary, he wasn't mad. He wasn't offended. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't hateful. But he rejoiced. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw it, he was glad. Oh, how we need to see the day of his suffering. How we need to see that day at Calvary. To be able to look back through all the years of time and see Jesus Christ taking and bearing our sin upon himself, making atonement for my sin. We need to see that, not just know about it, We need to see it. We need to so see it that it's real. That as if it's happening right now. We see Him suffering in our stead. We see the precious Lamb of God shedding His blood on our behalf and for our sake. Can you see that? Can you see Jesus Christ dying for you, shedding His blood for you? Again, when we see that, we see the amazing and wondrous and indescribable and undefinable love of God. That Jesus Christ would pay in full what our sins deserve. I believe also that Abraham saw the day of Christ's resurrection. You see, a Savior being born, a Savior suffering, is not enough. A lot of men died on crosses. That's not enough. I believe that Abraham also saw Christ, could look through the years. Perhaps he could see them taking that motionless body from the cross, placing it in a tomb, rolling a great stone before that tomb, securing the tomb. But more importantly, there's no doubt in my mind that he saw Jesus Christ come out of that tomb by faith. By faith. He saw Jesus Christ as the mighty conqueror over sin and death. And he was glad. He saw a victorious Lord. And he was glad. He saw the Christ who alone could bear the curse and rise a victor above it. He saw that and he was glad. And it'll make us glad too. To be able to look back and see Jesus Christ. You see, because if you can see a living Christ, what that means is that the sin debt has been paid. How can I be mad? How can I be bitter? How can I be hateful? How can I be offended? If I can see that my sin debt has been paid. Has been paid in full. Again, if we can see this, it's going to make us glad. He saw it as a testimony that his sins had been put away as far as the east is from the west. He saw it as a testimony that sin, death, and the grave were overcome. And he was glad. And he was glad. Every time I walk away from the grave of a child of God, it causes me to rejoice because of the victory. Because of the victory that's coming. Abraham looked through the years and saw a living and victorious Savior. It didn't make him mad. It didn't offend him. It rejoiced his soul. And we need to be able to see Christ coming from the tomb. Not just in general, because that won't save you. But you have to see him coming from the tomb for you. But that's not enough either. I believe also that Abraham saw Christ ascending back to heaven. Christ ascended back to heaven to apply his blood to the altar. Without that, there is no salvation. Remember when Mary was going to touch him? Don't touch me. Because he hadn't yet ascended back. And he ascended back. And then he came back to earth again. And then 40 days later, he ascended again. He ascended twice. He ascended twice. But Abraham saw Christ ascending back to heaven. He saw him rising and ascending with the glory of God, and he was glad. He sees him as his advocate in heaven, and he was glad. And today, you and I, we can look back, hopefully, and see. No. That Jesus left heaven and came to this earth in a body of human flesh for me. When we see that, it makes us glad. And then we can see Jesus Christ going to the cross and bearing our sins, paying our sin debt upon the cross. And we see that and we're glad. We see him in the tomb. We see him coming out of the tomb, victorious. It's all for us individually. Again, you can believe in all these historical facts. Yes, you can ask many lost sinners, do you believe that Christ came? And yeah, I believe that. Do you believe that he went to the cross? Yeah, I believe that. Do you believe he rose from the dead? Yeah, I believe that. You can ask almost any religious person. They believe all those things. It doesn't make you saved. You have to believe that he did it for you. It has to be as real as if you saw it with your physical eye. That's the difference between a saving faith and an intellectual faith. And all through the Bible, particularly the Gospels, we see this illustrated over and over and over again. And it's something that has always been in my mind since I've been pastoring, but it's almost something that haunts you. Haunts is the wrong word, but those who believed intellectually, they were the ones who always got mad. They were the ones who were so hateful toward Christ. It was those religious people who had a head knowledge. Oh, they were so cruel. They were so mean. I don't believe it's changed. I believe that's still true today. Some of the meanest people on this earth you will find sitting in churches that possess an intellectual faith. And you dare attack, you dare oppose their religious belief system, and you're going to stir up anger. Christ did it all the time. He purposely went into places and challenged their religious belief system. And they took up stones to stone him. It's no different today. They would still take up stones to stone him if he were here. And they would take up stones to stone the preacher or anybody else who would dare question their religious belief system. I'll never forget an individual many, many, many years ago, who was angry enough to kill me because he was a church member. And I asked him, "Brother, do you know that you're saved?" He was infuriated. "You can ask me every day if I'm saved. I'll be glad to tell you." How that can infuriate somebody is testimony enough that they're lost. I'm getting way off track here. But as we look back and see Jesus Christ, We need to see Him. We need to see Him by faith. And then it's important for us to remember, there is one thing we look forward to. By faith, this very same Jesus that we see at Bethlehem, that we see at Calvary, that we see in the tomb and coming out of the tomb and ascending back into heaven, this very same Jesus paid the price of our redemption. He came out of the tomb as our victory and sits at the right hand of God today as our confidence and our hope. He's coming again. And we need to have faith and we need to see that. And we need to rejoice to see that day. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And God's people ought to be rejoicing to see the coming of Jesus Christ. He is coming. I believe that He will come very soon. But perhaps He won't come for another 100 years. I don't know. But He's coming. He is coming. And I believe that with all of my heart. Well, not really. None of us do. But I do believe it. That Jesus Christ is coming. We need to be able to look beyond the circumstances and the trials and all the struggles and see Jesus coming again. And you know what that'll do? It'll make us glad. It'll make us glad. When you watch all the sickening things on the news, if we could at that moment just look ahead and see Jesus coming, it'll put a smile on your face. It'll make you glad. It'll make you glad. It'll make you glad that you live in the day that you do. We need to see Him. We need to see Him as He is. We need to see the glory of His person, the majesty of His exaltation. And then we need to see Him coming to complete and to finish the work of redemption. I mean, what is heaven? It's seeing Jesus. I mean, it's seeing Jesus. That's what makes heaven so wonderful. And what is it that makes a heavenly life upon earth? Seeing Jesus. And that's the kind of life that we all ought to strive to live, a heavenly life upon earth. But there's only one way to do that, and that is to see Jesus. And when we're able to see Him, it brings joy. It brings gladness. Oh, we must not be an angry bunch of people, a bitter bunch of people. We ought to be a glad people because we've seen Christ. Not only have we seen Him, but we see Him today. We need to see Him. We need to see Him clearly. We need to always be looking. We need to strive every moment of every day to look through everything, that whatever it is that's going on around us, to look through it all and to see Jesus Christ. That's saving faith. Saving faith is not just seeing Him one time. It's continuous. It's continuous. And I pray that we see Him every day. And then one day, we are going to behold His beauty with our own eyes. Now, we, as Paul said in Corinthians, we look through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. And what a day that will be. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us. Verse 7.